Welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh until 12 midday. Coming up in the next hour, we have a chat with an expert on how to see the Northern Lights, and a very appropriate one, as I said. We have a lot of pictures on social media across the Northwest this morning of people getting fantastic pictures of the Northern Lights. We'll be discussing that with someone from Astronomy Ireland. And by the way, if you have pictures that you wouldn't mind sharing with us here on Highland Radio, why not send your picture into us? You can send it via Facebook or indeed WhatsApp to us on 086 60 25000. And you can, of course, use that 086 60 25000 number for your WhatsApp and text messages to us as well. You can also call us on 074 60 25000. Donna Marie producing and taking your calls, and Anya taking calls out there as well. Also, coming up in the next hour, everything you need to know about the menopause. If you have any questions, you can send them in to us here on Highland, as we say, either via text or WhatsApp, or indeed you can call us on 07491 25000. If you're outside the dialing area, by the way, it's a 00353 7491 25000. Just a few more of your comments. Caller says, with regards to that crossing in Ballybuffet, I think the crossing is in a good location. Before, you'd have had to walk down to McElhenney's to get across. I don't know why people are complaining. I've seen people for years walking halfway across the road and stopping before continuing on. At least now you just cross. Now, I think, caller, in fairness, no one is complaining about the crossing per se. I think the issue with the crossing is, number one, it isn't very well signposted. So a lot of people are kind of slightly confused as to what its status is. Is it a legal pedestrian crossing? Is it an optional crossing? Are people required to stop? Now, people should stop, obviously, if you see someone standing at a crossing waiting to cross the road. One would have thought common courtesy and manners would suggest you would stop. You don't have to be legally told to. But that is one question that people ask. The other question then is the question of lighting. It isn't the location. The issue isn't necessarily the location. The issue is basically how well is it lit, and do people who are on the road know the crossing is there? If you haven't got a warning sign and you haven't got good lighting, then people may very well be unaware there is a crossing there and suddenly stumble across it, and that is something you do not want to happen. Another caller says, with regards to the hospital in Fulcara, caller expresses concern it'll be the same as Dunloe. It got a big renovation and the space was used for nothing except storage. Now, that does, of course, raise the next question. If you have something like a new extension to a hospital and the potential for new services, what you also need is the beds, the equipment, the staff, and the ancillary resources and supports to make sure that that space is filled. So it's one thing developing space. It's another thing, and we always say, you know, there's going to be 20 more beds. And sometimes it can sound like that means just going out and buying 20 more beds. But that also means 20 more support systems at each bed, 20 more oxygen connections, 20 more connections for various equipment that may be needed for monitoring or whatever, 20 more appropriate PowerPoints, 20 more areas that can be viewed easily by a nurse, and most importantly, adequate staff to ensure that the 20 extra patients are cared for in a safe, professional and appropriate setting. So it isn't just a matter of getting beds, it's a matter of getting all the ancillary equipment and supports and staff around those beds. So, you know, it's great to build an extension. That's not the end of the process, that's the start, and hopefully that will be recognised by all involved. Caller says, well done to the Termin Drama Group over the past 2 weeks at the Kilmacrenan Hall. Four nights of pure laughter, just what people needed. Well done to all, and indeed hats off to all involved in that show in Termin. It's great to see that there's lots of smaller groups around the county that are putting on shows in small community halls in rural areas, and it is wonderful to see. I salute you, I take my hat off to you, and congratulations to all. Caller says, why can't people in Inishowen get x-rays in Carndonagh Hospital instead of Letterkenny? That is a very, very good question. And it's a discussion we've had here before, because, I mean, and I've said this on numerous occasions, and I'll say it again because it bears repeating. When the HSC was first inaugurated many years ago, and they had the very first meeting of the HSC West Regional Forum, as it was called at the time, that forum still exists today. Indeed, we have a Donegal chair at present, Councillor Jerry McMonagle. The very first meeting of that forum took place at Merlin Park in Galway, and I was at it. and it was addressed by the then chief executive of the HSE. Indeed, he was the first chief executive of the HSE, a man called Brendan Drum. And Brendan Drum said at the day that his priority and the HSE's priority was to get people out of acute hospitals and get them treated, assessed and diagnosed where possible in their own community setting. That is the whole point. When we talk about primary care centres in places like Newton Cunningham, and there's a very good primary care centre just opened there, the idea isn't just that the primary care centre is a brand new place for your GP to have their base. It's also a place where you should be able to go for your x-rays, you should be able to go for your tests, you should be able to go for if you need certain treatments, you should be able to get them there rather than have to go into the hospital. And the idea is that you're keeping people out of the hospital as much as possible. And the more you can keep people out of the hospital, the more the hospital is then freed up for the people that need it. Now, you also have this situation, and I've told the story before, where several years ago I had a bad, I'm going right back to the 90s, I had a fairly bad bout of salmonella and it required hospitalisation. And I went to my GP and my GP took one look at me and said, you need to go to hospital. My GP made one phone call and then said to me, present yourself on, I think it was Medical 2. She said, present yourself at Medical 2 at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I went into the hospital, I went up to Medical 2. I was in a bed, I'd say, within 20 minutes. Because Medical 2 knew that Donal Kavanagh was coming, had a report from the GP, everything was there. I walked in, I was processed, I was in the bed, bang. 20 minutes from walking in the hospital door to being in a bed. Now everything is funneled through the emergency department. And there must be more effective, time-effective and staff-effective ways of doing it than that. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Donal Kavanagh with you until 12 midday. As I said this morning, before going for a stroll, I was leafing through my Facebook page and I just saw friend upon friend upon friend in West Donegal and up in Fannet, basically anywhere along the Donegal coast that doesn't suffer from light pollution, posting some amazing photographs of the Northern Lights. And they were phenomenal photographs of the Northern Lights. And it seems that Donegal really got a spectacular show last night. I'm joined on the line by David Moore of Astronomy Ireland. David, good morning to you.
Good morning.
David, certainly we in Donegal have been getting some phenomenal views of the Northern Lights. Has that been shared across the country, or are we in a privileged position because of our geography?
Well, you're a little bit closer in Donegal, but it was seen as far south as Tipperary. And I'm delighted to say our Aurora Alert Service, completely free, did predict this yesterday afternoon. We told people to go out. We were sort of expecting it after midnight, but it arrived a few hours early, which was great because everybody was awake. And around about 10 o'clock, we started getting reports of people seeing it. And it really exploded into view before midnight with rays. I was watching it myself, shooting up halfway up the sky. A fantastic display. And we could get more because it's happening right now. We can see from satellite imagery that the aurora is extremely active right now. Hopefully it will last until sunset. The sky will get dark over Ireland and we'll be treated to more displays that we want people to send us their reports and photographs for Astronomy Ireland magazine.
I had the pleasure of visiting Tromsø in northern Norway last summer. I did a trip up the Arctic Circle with my better half, and we actually got to go to the Northern Lights Museum attached to the Science Museum in Tromsø. I'm sure it's a place you've been yourself. They have an international research centre there for the Aurora Borealis, and I was looking at sort of some of the pictures and some of the stuff they've got there, which was phenomenal. But it I have to say, what I was seeing, pictures taken from West Donegal last night weren't far off the pictures I was seeing in Tromsø.
Yes, I've been lucky to be there a few times myself. We've run tours up to the north of Norway to watch the aurora, where you'll see it practically every night. And we'll be starting those tours again come this winter because the sun goes through an 11-year cycle and we're expecting the maximum activity 2025. And the aurora peaks usually a few years after the sunspot peak. So we're coming into sort of the next decade or so. It would be a very good season to see them. And what people should remember is that the photographs are excellent because the cameras can take exposures for several seconds, and that's more than the human eye can do. So what I saw initially was just a band of light low on the horizon, couldn't see that it was green. Get your camera out, take a long exposure picture for a few seconds. Even camera phones can do that these days. And you see the band of green, you know it's not light pollution or something else going on, it's the aurora. And then when it got more active, you could, with the naked eye, see the rays shooting up. I counted seven of them at one stage. They only last a few seconds. They're changing all the time. It's tricky to get a camera picture that will show the event because you need to make several seconds exposure. And they've moved during that time. I remember in Norway seeing them even in a pair of binoculars, and you could see them moving in real time. So it's an incredible sight to see. I mean, the thing that struck me from my best tour ever, I think it was 2012, was that they say a total eclipse of the sun is the most spectacular sight in nature. We haven't had one of those in Ireland since 1724. And I've seen a couple myself around the world, but I have to say an angry aurora is even more impressive than a total eclipse of the sun. So we're hoping we're going to get that tonight. We only get in Ireland 1% of the time. Arctic Circle, you get it practically every night.
Yeah, well, I was in the Arctic Circle in June, so obviously we were in the land of the midnight sun, so you got a vague dust between dusk between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. And actually, I was on the tour in the museum, and we did the planetarium as well, which is, if anyone's ever in Tromsø, the planetarium is the extreme aurora show is really spectacular. But I mean, there was people asking, "Oh, will we see them tonight?" And she was saying, "Well, they're there, but you won't see them." And that I suspect is the case in Ireland most of the time. They're there, but you just can't see them. But what is it about the current weather conditions then that means we can? Because we know Donegal at the best of times can be misty and murky and cloudy at night, and very often things that you get to see further down the country we don't get to see here, because almost inevitably what happens is we see Astronomy Ireland says there's going to be an amazing thing in the sky tonight, and Mid Éireann say cloudy, and you can forget about it. What is it about the current weather conditions that makes it so much an optimum situation for the aurora?
In one word, look. In Ireland, the weather forecast for astronomers is really simple. It's two words, mostly cloudy. It turns out on this island, about three out of four nights are cloudy. You see nothing. So we issue these aurora predictions all the time. We've had actually several seen in the last year. But you need somebody who's got a clear patch at the right time. You have to be in the right place at the right time. And as I said, in Ireland, usually it's just a small glow on the northern horizon. The island is so small, it doesn't really matter where you are. You hear a lot of reports in Donegal and the north coast, Northern Ireland, because you're looking out over the ocean there, so it's guaranteed to be no streetlights in that direction.
Yeah.
So if any glow happens, it's almost certainly the aurora. But you could see it in Cork as well. Probably you'll have a few towns and cities. People often send us pictures, and they're nothing more than sports and fixtures lighting up the clouds.
Yeah.
To people's north. And there's, I think those conditions with the ocean have attracted a lot of photographers on the north coast, but also over on the west coast. Mayo dipped out nicely into the Atlantic as well, so you get fantastic reports there. But we want people to send us their pictures for publication in Astronomy Ireland magazine. Don't send them all. Thousands of people took pictures. Just send your best one, and we'll try and put them into Astronomy Ireland magazine. It should happen again tonight. And do follow us on our social media, Twitter and Facebook especially. And we'll, when we predict them, we'll be able to get you ready for them. And then you just have to battle with the clouds after that. So, for instance, this one, on Friday night, Saturday morning, there was a huge explosion on the sun. And material was hurled at about 2 or 3 million miles an hour towards the Earth. That takes about 2 days to get here. So we knew it was coming. It's not an exact science. We can't predict it exactly how strong it's going to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes we predict it and nothing happens. Sometimes we don't predict it and we get an aurora. But it's fairly good now with all these space weather prediction satellites that we have, that professional astronomers run, where we can get a prediction like this. So I'd say at least 50% of the time we're right. We did expect a big one last night. I think the word we used was strong aurora in our prediction yesterday afternoon, and that's definitely what we got.
And there's a caller asking, is there any indication as to what would be the best time to see them tonight?
Well, it's actually happening right now. There are satellites that are monitoring the radiation in space, and they give us about a half an hour to an hour's prediction of what we should expect on the ground. That's really accurate.
Yeah.
And interpreting can be a bit tricky, but just follow Astronomy Ireland social media.
Yeah.
Go to astronomy.ie. You'll see Facebook and Twitter symbols at the bottom. definitely follows that. We also predict other things, that Venus and Jupiter are getting extremely close this week. This aurora's come and stolen their thunder. And there's also a bit of a space chase happening in morning skies that we've been following as well, involving manned spacecraft. But everyone will focus on the aurora. We know it's happening right now. I can see clouds out my window, but above those, it's too bright to see it during daylight, but it's definitely happening. And if it just holds out, keeps going for a few more hours until we get the sun setting, the skies are dark, and hopefully it's clear. Looking at the satellite picture, check out Met.ie, our friends at Met Aaron. You'll see that the west of Ireland is completely clear, and if that holds, they should get great views. But it could move across the country, who knows? And I tell people, just ignore the weather forecast anyway. All you need is a break in the clouds.
Yeah.
Keep checking the sky all night long. I stayed up till dawn just in case the clouds broke. It was lovely and clear early on, then clouded in. We know there was another big surge around 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's surging right now. So it's very exciting. Follow social media and just keep checking the northern sky.
David Moore, Astronomy Ireland, thanks very much indeed for speaking to us today. So the advice is go to astronomy.ie and you'll get all the latest there, and hopefully we'll all be able to get a glimpse of the Northern Lights tonight. Of course, David, presumably, I mean, you're going to have to get out of the big towns. I mean, I live in a housing estate on the outskirts of Letterkenny. I mean, I'm presuming I need to get out of there and get out into the countryside and away from the lights.
That's a good point. There's a strong moon up at the moment, and it was brightening the sky. So unless you're in the middle of a big town or city, actually being out in the countryside won't make that much difference. The suburbs will do. So a lot of people will have the right conditions. The one thing you really need is a good, clear view of the northern horizon. So you don't want trees or buildings in that particular direction. So you might have to go to a local park or a hill or something like that. But you can get out of a town or a city even better, even with the moonlight. You'll still get a slightly better view. But don't give up just because you're in suburban locations. And, you know, there'll be, next issue of Astronomy Now magazine will be packed full of these pictures. I took over 1,000 last week.
Yeah.
And so people are welcome to join the club, follow us on the social media free, and just you'll see the magazine there on astronomy.ie if you want to see a report of all this if you missed it last night and nothing appears tonight.
David Moore, thank you very much indeed. So we got some great shots, as we said, of the Aurora Borealis last night, and hopefully more to come tonight. Just want to remind you that our Glasgow trip, which is going, is starting to fill up. We're down to our last 30 places for Glasgow. It's been a very popular trip with a continuous stream of bookings, a huge number of inquiries from people as well. If you want to secure your place, you can call us today on 074-912-5000. €100 per person, non-refundable deposit will hold your spot. Now, I know there are at this stage multiple buses going on that Glasgow trip, and we're down to the last 30 places. So if you want to... if you want to do that trip, just get on it. And let's just take a look at what it actually involves. The trip goes in... it goes from the 1st to the 4th of May. You'll be staying at the four-star Crown Plaza Hotel. You'll have music from, among others, David James, the Ryan Turner Band, Declan Nernian guests, and Robert Mazzell. Lots of others there as well. You'll have luxury coach transfers, return journey on the ferry. Your breakfast and dinner is included. 3 nights of musical entertainment. And it's all for a total of €575. Now, let's be honest, €575 is a steal when you're getting entertainment of that quality and accommodation of that quality as well. So get on it now. Last 30 places. And as the old ad says, when they're gone, they're gone. Earlier in the show, we were talking about age, and I was joking about the fact that I knew what Paul McCartney's Frog Chorus was, and my production team, who are all considerably younger than me, didn't have a clue what I was on about. And age brings with it a number of challenges, and it brings with it a number of benefits. And when you're of an age, and particularly if you're a woman, then you potentially are facing the menopause. And when you're facing that, it brings up a whole raft of questions that many people have. As we said at the top of this hour, we do have an expert on menopause joining us to discuss the issue. Catherine O'Keefe is the author of a new book, All You Need to Know About Menopause. And Catherine joins us on Zoom. Catherine, good morning.
Hi, Donal. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It is absolutely my pleasure. One thing I want to say is I'm a married man, and I'm in my 50s, as is my beloved. And I have had this conversation both with her and with her sister. And what I will say is, I'm not going to go into anyone's personal details, but I will say is both of them had very different experiences.
Yeah,
very different experiences. Now, they're two women who are of the same parents, grew up in the same family, had the same upbringing up. And well, they obviously things diverged when they were in their 20s. But, you know, two people, same genetic makeup, but two very different experiences once they hit that age. Is that typical?
Yeah. I always say no two women will have the same experience of menopause. And I think that, just like as you explained there within your own family, that is what makes it so unique. And that's what, Donal, makes the whole empowerment and knowledge around menopause so important, because what could work for me versus what might work for your beloved or, you know, your sister-in-law is going to be completely different. So it's really important that we are very respectful around the conversation around menopause, and that we empower and support women with information, and at the same time realizing that, look, you know, what can work for one may not work for the other. And that was one of the underpinnings of my book, really, was to try and get as much information out there as possible, but also make sure that we are being respectful of the variation of experiences that we see. For example, like in my own situation, I'm 52 now, Donal. I'm still going through perimenopause. I haven't finished yet. And I haven't yet had a hot flush. Now, I have had anxiety. I've had loads of brain fog. So there's so many symptoms that many of us won't have. And it's going to be very individual in the experience. And, you know, that is why it's so important for every woman and every partner and family to really understand that, you know, it's not going to be the same for everybody.
And this is one of the problems, because, and I think sometimes we as men are guilty, because we have an idea in our minds of what something is, and it's nicely compartmentalized, and it's menopause. I know what menopause is. It's this. And here's my nice handy 2-3 line explanation. Put a full stop on it, file it away, and what's this? No, you're wrong. It can't be like that, because my understanding is no, it's completely different to that. And we have expectations sometimes as men that we completely and utterly, utterly fail to appreciate how far off the mark we are.
I so love that. And Donal, can I read you 2 lines from the book? Mm-hmm. So there was a lovely man, Pat. I wrote a chapter for partners because, just like you said, I wanted partners to really understand how complex, how deep menopause is. So I'll just read this for you. One thing I've learned about menopause is that you can't fix it, and your relationship shifts or changes its dynamic. When my wife talks about menopause, I used to jump into what can I do mode, how can I fix it. Now I know it's all about listening and having my ears open. Making the cup of tea at nighttime goes down very well too. You know, throughout the book, I include stories from people, but particularly from partners. It's so important in terms of understanding menopause is way more than hot flushes. It's way more than night sweats. You know, there's a lot that happens on the psychological and emotional level. And the majority of women will say that's where they struggle the most. That in the early perimenopause years, which can start from 45 onwards, many women don't expect this anxiety that comes out of the corner. And it's like, what's that about? You know, so it's really just making sure that women understand, what does perimenopause look like? What does menopause look like? So that you're armed with the information, so that then you don't fear this inevitable natural stage in your life. And really that we flip it so that we actually think, OK, look, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to tackle it head on. I know what my choices are. This will work for me. And you try different things, etc. And that, you know, I'm seeing now, Donal, a lot of fear and overwhelm around menopause. And I think that's what I'm trying to kind of say, look, let's just calm it all down and understand there's loads of treatment options. There's loads of lifestyle aspects that come into play here. It's all about just having a trusted sources that you can go to and actually get the right information. And that's what the book is all about, evidence-based information in relation to supporting.
And presumably part of that process is the fact that if people have expectations and those expectations aren't met or the experience is different, the next sort of thing a lot of people will do is they'll go, oh, there is something wrong with my experience, when the actual reality is there is nothing wrong with anyone's experience. And it's just, it's not wrong, it's different. But if we go into something, I say we, if women go into this with fixed expectations, they're on a hiding to nothing on that one.
Yes, big time. And you know, one thing that I see, I would hear a lot from women. So we know that 1 in 4 women will go through menopause with no symptoms, or they're so mild they don't even realise. But you know what they're now beginning to say? I'm getting emails and phone calls and women are saying to me, oh, Catherine, I'm here wondering what's wrong with me because I don't have symptoms. And I'm like, you're fine. Yeah. You know, it's not everyone is going to have the symptoms. So it's really once you have the knowledge that you know what the symptoms could be, it all of a sudden puts you on a different trajectory, Donal. And the other thing is you'll then go in, you'll be thinking, ah, yeah, menopause. I know what will happen. That's fine. I know what my options are. And it takes away the fear. I mean, ideally, we do want it to be brought into the SPHE classes in secondary school so that the education starts there, because the one thing about menopause, like you will know in your own home situation, it doesn't just impact the person going through it. It impacts everyone you touch off of, whether that's at work, whether it's at home, your family, your friends, etc. So shattering the taboo of menopause is imperative in us supporting women to be empowered so that they can actually thrive through these years and understand that they don't have to suffer in silence ever. There's no need for that anymore.
The other thing is people will start anticipating. We have a message in asking, when can I expect to experience menopause? I'm now in my 40s. I want to be prepared for when the symptoms may start.
Yeah, and I love that because you know what? If you start preparing beforehand, Donal, you make your experience so much more positive. The average age of perimenopause starts at around 45. Now, I started 44 myself. I would kind of say, you know, from your early 40s, have a good understanding of what does perimenopause look like. So that means when you start to see any of those little changes creeping in and there isn't, you know, another reason for it, that then you might start to think, okay, well, things are starting to move, which means that your hormones are basically starting to decline and fluctuate and until they eventually settle. Now, I was talking to a lovely man last week who was telling me that he thought menopause lasted 3 weeks. No. It actually, that whole period from perimenopause into menopause, like there's years in that. And menopause itself is really, it's like a birthday, an anniversary. It's 12 months without a period. So, but the perimenopause years is where it's like, you know, the ground starts to unsettle. You know, there's ripples in the water until it becomes more obvious. If it's going to become more obvious, and it's really important to remember that that's not the case for everyone. And what I also cover in the book is the fact that you may not have symptoms, but what should you be doing to protect yourself in these years? Like looking at your bone health, your brain health, your heart health. So I always think about menopause, the menopause years, that they also offer a window of opportunity because we can start to think about, okay, well, I'm taking a pause here. How can I now start to think about looking after my health, not for just the menopause years, but for my 70s, 80s and 90s?
Caller asks, how does one know when they're going through the menopause if they don't have any symptoms?
If they don't have any symptoms, the only way you can confirm that you've hit menopause is you go to your doctor and your doctor will take a blood test and the FSH, the follicle stimulating hormone, that level goes really high. And that basically confirms to your doctor that you have at some point hit menopause. So that's the real confirmation. But as to if something's going on, you're always looking at the symptoms. But if you're not having symptoms, then you're one of the lucky 20%.
But presumably there'll be disruptions to the menstrual cycle. And I mean, if someone is regularly menstruating as they always would have done, then presumably they're not in menopause. If that cycle is disrupted or has stopped, then that's obviously going to be the first hint.
Yeah, well, it's the first. I always kind of say the first thing to look at is how are you? How are you feeling? Because the cycles aren't necessarily the very first thing to start. But if you've no other symptoms, what will happen at some point is they'll start becoming very sporadic. They'll be a few weeks apart, a few months, and then until eventually they stop altogether. And when you've gone 12 months without a cycle, then you know you've hit menopause and you're into postmenopause, which isn't a defined chapter. Many people think it is. It's the rest of your life. And the symptoms, if you're having them, you can still have them after you hit menopause. But, you know, if you're not getting symptoms, then fantastic. And, you know, so many women don't. So it's important that we keep that as a very relevant part of the conversation.
Just very conscious I used the word obviously there as though I have a clue. So please feel free to absolutely pull me back, because there is nothing worse than a man who thinks he knows what he's talking about on issues like this. So, I mean, you know, if I start talking rot, do please pull me back. Absolutely. A caller is asking about hormone therapy and asking, you know, should I consider hormone therapy? Should I take natural supplements to treat my symptoms? Or is it going to be different for everyone?
Oh, I love that. I did an Instagram on Friday, I think it was, or Saturday morning, Donal. Oh, my God. It just went viral because I was basically saying just that we've got to be very mindful of the fact there's many different treatment options in menopause, and it depends on your individual situation. I think one very easy way to look at it is, are your symptoms mild, moderate or severe? If they're mild, then certainly you should be, you know, rolling up your sleeves, looking at the lifestyle aspects that you can put together. Look at, I always say, take it a symptom at a time. So, like, for example, if sleep is an issue, focus on sleep, get that right. You know, don't overwhelm yourself by trying to do too much at one time. So look at the severity of the symptoms and how much they're impacting your life. If your symptoms are severe and they're impacting your life, then you definitely want to go and have a conversation with your doctor and discuss your options. Now, you have medical options and you've non-medical options as well, like the complementary therapies have a great role to play, particularly acupuncture, the use of herbs, which is very common. You know, but again, you've got to take into account the severity of the symptoms and how it's impacting your life. So it really is, it is never one size fits all. And it's very much looking at from an individual perspective. The most common question I'm asked, Donal, is what are most people doing, most women doing? And I can tell you, most women, you know, are doing a bit of everything. You know, it can be someone's doing acupuncture, they may be on HRT, they may not be on HRT, or they may be simply doing other forms of medication or lifestyle. So it's very mixed. And that's what the book delves into, because it gives you the options. If your symptoms are mild, well, there's loads of practical steps you can take. You know, and again, if you need to look down the medication route, there's a very detailed chapter on HRT, hormone replacement therapy. But the whole thing is, it's not for everyone, just like acupuncture isn't going to be for everyone. So it's just very, very individual and personal.
Now, the book is called All You Need to Know About Menopause by Catherine O'Keefe, Ireland's menopause expert. And it's an important one, Catherine. It was published earlier this month, and important, you know, that women can read this book and just get themselves, you know, in the right headspace, perhaps, to deal with their own situation. Just a couple of comments that have come in. One caller says, I spent a fortune on pregnancy tests during perimenopause. Sort of thing, you know. I also
me too, Donald. Yeah, me too.
I also once did hear the opposite story, where a lady whom I know was in her, shall we say, mid-40s, assumed she was going through menopause. Let's just say she wasn't.
Okay.
Quite the opposite. There was a little bit of a surprise a bit later on when she went to the doctor to get tested. Yeah. What the doctor actually told her was not what she was expecting. And I'm sure that happens too.
It does happen. Mm-hmm. And because the cycles start becoming erratic, you're like, oh God, oh, maybe I'm feeling a bit nausea, maybe I have a headache. And you're nearly convinced yourself that I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
I've certainly done tons of pregnancy tests myself when I was in the perimenopause years.
Yeah. I mean, a caller asking, is it typical to start menopause at 42? I feel like I'm getting the symptoms. I thought I would be older.
Okay. Yes, the average age would be around, 45. Now, what I would say there, if you feel like you're getting the symptoms of 42, depending on what they are, the very first thing that I would want to rule out is I'd want to look at your thyroid and also your iron levels. So it could be speak to your doctor and get a blood test done, because the symptoms of a thyroid imbalance, particularly if you're hypothyroid, they actually look very similar to the symptoms of perimenopause. And the same can be said for low iron. Low iron, you get palpitations, you miss your periods, you can get panic attacks, you can have tiredness. So there's a lot of crossover. So certainly at 42, you want to rule out that there isn't anything else going on. So your doctor would definitely help you with that.
Now, I seem to recall an ad featuring Lorraine Keane some time ago where she was speaking about going into perimenopause in her 30s.
Yeah, you can. Mm. So there's earlier forms of menopause. And, the youngest woman I've ever met, Donal, started when she was in third class in primary school. She was nine years of age. So that's a more unique form of menopause. But early menopause is really when it's going to happen, before 40. And again, we don't have statistics in Ireland, but I will say to you, from what I'm seeing, I definitely think it's on the increase.
Again, another caller asking, are you likely to conceive while entering menopause? My cycle is so erratic. I have so much anxiety that I'm pregnant. I've entered the menopause quite young. I mean, again, that same question coming up again and again.
Yeah, it's because your periods become erratic, and then you might be having other symptoms like the anxiety and so forth, and you don't know am I pregnant or is it hormonal. So many women will do pregnancy tests as they go through menopause. Certainly if you feel that you have many of the symptoms, like the more common symptoms like urinary issues, hot flushes, brain fog, etc., then I would certainly say talk to your doctor, because depending on your age, it's whether have you hit it already,
Caller asks, and this is an interesting practical question. If I enter menopause, should I get my contraception removed? I have an IUD.
Okay, now that's a really good one, because if you have like the Mirena coil, that is actually giving you a steady supply of progesterone. The main hormones we talk about in menopause are estrogen, progesterone and testosterone. So that's actually probably giving you a little bit of support towards menopause. So it's really personal. I mean, depending on how long you've had the Mirena coil in, then it can be replaced every 5 years. And then as you get older, it's 7 years. But certainly there's nothing to say you need to take it out. But, that's really, have a conversation with your doctor and discuss it. But it is probably helping you, though.
And there is a related question. I mean, a caller asking, how would I know when I've hit menopause? I have the coil in and never have periods anyway as a result.
Yeah. What'll happen there, what generally tends to happen. Now, again, you could be one of the lucky who don't get symptoms. But what generally does tend to happen is that as you get closer to menopause, the more estrogen-like symptoms start to come forward. So you might start the hot flushes, the night sweats. You might have internal vaginal dryness. Different things like that might start to come into play. So it's really just, again, it's just being aware of the symptoms and watching what's happening in your body.
Again, caller says, I've been suffering from restless nights and interrupted sleep. Is this normal? I suspect from your nodding, the answer is yes.
It is. And Donal, I always say, like, if you can get sleep right, you can really start to work on changing, the symptoms that you're experiencing during menopause. To me, I always say sleep is the bedrock of thriving through menopause. If you get sleep right, because it impacts all of us, right? That's why it's a form of torture to be sleep deprived. So it is very common. It's one of the most common symptoms that women will experience. And what I would say to your listener there is I would definitely say, if it's restless sleep, you could certainly look at something like magnesium, but also just, take into account what your sleep habits are at nighttime and prioritize good, deep restorative sleep. On my website, I have tons of blogs and interviews on sleep, because it's such a big subject, and it's probably one of the bigger chapters in the book, because it's so important.
Now, caller says, finding comprehensive care in Donegal feels impossible. Any suggestions? I mean, obviously, your GP is going to be your first port of call. And maybe reading your book might be another way of just getting the head in the right place. And then maybe the person will find that they don't necessarily need medical intervention as much as just, you know, to know what their own particular individual pathway is.
Yeah, exactly. So I would definitely say grab a copy of the book. I would for sure, because it will give you all the options. Now, there isn't any specialist menopause clinics in Donegal at the moment. The nearest probably to you is Galway, I think, is probably the nearest. But what I would say, though, is, you know, get informed and look at what your options are. And I am a huge believer, Donal. I know we do have a lot of work to do in relation to educating our GPs, but I'm a huge believer in relation to community care. And I do, you know, I really want the day to come that every woman can just walk down to their local doctor and get the right standard of care. You know, the government are working on that. We know we've got a way to go, but certainly, you know, there are some fantastic doctors up in Donegal. So I think it's just trying to find a doctor who has a special interest in women's health. And at the same time, if you read the book and you read the treatment options, you'd go into that appointment and you'd be very informed, which changes the whole experience.
Catherine, it's been a pleasure. All You Need to Know About Menopause is the name of the book, published by O'Brien Press, available, as they say, in all bookshops. And it's a vital read for women who find themselves in that situation, and maybe a vital read for their partners as well, so they can try to navigate the situation that they're in. Catherine, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. The caller said, I had a total hysterectomy at 48. Menopause was terrible for years. Another caller says, I know an old lady who only started getting hot flushes when she was 70. The hot flushes, I could hardly breathe and I had broken sleep, says another caller. And I mean, as Catherine said there, the experience of menopause is going to be different for everybody. And I think there is no right and there is no wrong here. So it isn't a matter of, oh, you know, I'm wrong, or there is something wrong with me because this is happening or this isn't happening, or, you know, everyone's experience is going to be different, I think, when it comes to menopause. And, you know, it's, you know, something that women will experience. And, you know, maybe if you read Catherine's book, and just the more you learn about something like that, I think maybe the better situation you'll find yourself in, and the easier you'll be able to actually deal with the situation you're in. Just remember from what Catherine was saying, there is no right experience, there is no wrong experience. Everyone is going to have a different experience. And sometimes it can be iffy, I think, when two people are sitting down and they're having a conversation, because, you know, person one will have one set of symptoms and one set of experience, and person two will have a completely different one. And, you know, one may believe, the reality is there is, you know, just the experience is going to be different. And it doesn't mean there is something wrong. It doesn't mean that you're somehow strange or different. You're not. A caller has been in touch with us, lost a gold earring with a diamond inset in Derry between 3 and 5 on Saturday. It was a birthday present, and the earring was made specifically for this caller, made for her by her parents, or ordered by her parents. So it's of obviously high sentimental value. It's a lost gold hooked earring with a diamond inset, lost in Derry between 3 and 5 on Saturday. If anyone can help, please do get in touch. I'll put that to one side. Happy birthday. A few birthday requests coming in. Happy birthday to Bridget Kearns in Rafoe. That comes from daughter Rosemary, son-in-law Liam, and grandson Adams. And also, happy birthday to Sarah Clark. And that comes from Catherine, Sean, and Marie, and Murren McBride. A very happy birthday indeed to you, Sarah. Caller's been in touch to say another scam warning. What looks like a UK number called, trying to sell stock and get our caller involved in the stock market. He was asking the caller what they do, what type of phone they use, what type of bank account they use, and was being very pushy. It seemed like he was trying to keep me on the line for some reason, asking questions that were irrelevant. Red flags all the way. And in a situation like that, I think you're absolutely right to hang up. If in doubt, I will always say it, if it's a strange number and if you're in doubt, do not engage. And as often as not, I will not answer my phone if I do not know who that caller is. We were speaking earlier to Aidan about his experience with Bus Éireann and one particular route in Donegal where the bus is consistently late, and his son has Asperger's, and has difficulties waiting in crowds and waiting for buses and has difficulties with uncertainty, and was looking like they were going to have to actually give up on their training courses as a result of issues with the bus. Another caller has been on to say, look, there is always a problem with buses, particularly in the evenings, and I am tired of asking questions about it.